we're looking at Surah Al-Ahzab and we're looking at verse 24 onwards. Now to recap, Allah Rabbul Izzah has outlined and He has said that from amongst the believers, there are those who have fulfilled the pledge and those are waiting and they have not changed in the least. So this refers to those who have not been martyred but are ever present to meet their martyrdom. They have not changed a bit in their resolve, meaning they waiting for when Allah will grant them that privilege of martyrdom. And we mentioned the story of Sayyidina Anas bin Nadhr, radiallahu anhu, how he had missed out on Badr, and he went the extra mile in Uhud until he attained what he aspired for, and that was really martyrdom that he wanted. That is what he really sought after. Allah Rabbul Izzah then talks about these people, and He says that لِيَجَزِيَ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ بِصِدْقِهِمْ, so that Allah may reward the truthful ones for their truthfulness, وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ, and that He may punish the hypocrites, إِنْشَاءَ, if He wills, أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ, or He may forgive them after they repent and accept Islam. So that is their requisite, that they repent and accept Islam, and in that way, those who fulfill their promise were true to their words, and they will be rewarded for that. On the other hand, the treacherous hypocrites will be punished, if Allah wills, unless they accept Islam. Allah Rabbul Izzah then continues by saying, وَرَدَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِغَيْرِهِمْ لَمْ يَنَالُوا خَيْرًا. Allah repelled the unbelievers in their rage, and they gained no advantage. They gained nothing from their coming out against the Muslimin. The unbelievers were perplexed by their humiliating defeat. They had to flee from the battlefield in their rage. They neither attained victory, nor did they gain booty. In fact, Amr ibn Abdul Wud, the famous marksman, who was considered to be equal to 1,000 cavalry, was slain in the hands of none other than Sayyidina Ali karramallahu wajhahu. And upon his death, the Mushrikeen request his corpse in return for 10,000 dinars. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied that they could take him away for free because Muslims were not such as to devour the wealth that was obtained in exchange for corpse. Allah Rabbul Izzah was sufficient. وَكَفَى اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْقِتَالِ. Allah sufficed the believers in the sense that they did not have to wage a general battle. With the might of Allah, Allah had sent fierce winds and an army of angels which had the impact of causing the unbelievers to flee in remorse. And who can stand a chance in front of Allah's awesome might and power? None can stand a chance. And that is how Allah had granted victory to the believers. And that was the particular episode of what had transpired at the time of Ahzab. Allah Rabbul Izzah had granted the believers a mighty victory and had repelled the unbelievers in such a way that they were humiliated and they were defeated. Thereafter, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered into a treaty with three Jewish tribes of Medina. And amongst the clause of the treaty were that they were all to join forces to defend Medina against any enemy attack. The Banu Qaynuqa broke the treaty after the Battle of Badr and were duly punished. The Banu Nadir were banished from Medina in the fourth year after Hijrah, after which they instigated the Quraysh and other tribes to attack the Muslims, resulting in the Battle of Ahzab. And that is what we've been discussing. And therefore, only the Banu Qurayza remained true to their word and continued to remain in Medina. And amongst those to instigate the Quraysh and other tribes against the Muslims were the leaders of the Banu Nadir, Huyay bin Akhtab. And when the enemy forces camped outside Medina, Huyay managed to sneak into the fort of Ka'b bin Asad, the leader of the Banu Qurayza, in an attempt to persuade him to break the treaty with the Muslims. And initially Ka'b bin Asad locked the door of his fort and refused Huyay to enter. And he said, I'm bound to a treaty with Muhammad, and I find him exuding in trustworthiness and truthfulness. I cannot break the treaty. But Huyay bin Akhtab persisted and pressed his point home, and eventually Ka'b bin Asad asked Huyay, what will happen to us if Muhammad returns home safely and his enemy retreat? And Huyay pledged to then enter Ka'b bin Asad's fort and suffer the same fate as he would face. And Ka'b bin Asad agreed to this and broke his treaty with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received information about this, he dispatched Sayyidina Sa'd bin Mu'adh. And Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ubadah, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha, and others to investigate, and they returned with the confirmation of the news that the treaty has been broken. And when the Kufar retreated, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned home and took a bath. Thereafter, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down and said, O Nabi of Allah, have you laid down your weapons? And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied in affirmative, Jibreel said, by Allah, we the angels have not yet laid down our weapons. Allah commands you to march on the Banu Qurayza. And he said that I'm also headed in that direction and shall cause an earthquake to shake their fortress. Subhanallah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then instructed the Sahaba to march to the Banu Qurayza and to perform the Asr there. Some Sahaba interpreted the command literally and only performed the Qadha Asr Salah after reaching, because the time of Asr had expired, and others interpreted the command to mean that they should reach the Banu Qurayza as soon as possible, but they should perform the Salah en route when the time sets in. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not rebuke any of the two groups for the interpretation. And ulama have deduced from that the difference between the schools of Islamic jurisprudence are all justified and none may condemn the other. And that is an important point, and I think that is a point that we need to reflect on, that there is a degree of wus'at, there is a degree of spaciousness, there is a degree of vastness to our deen, and we should allow that. We should allow people to practice how they feel or how they've learnt, in the sense that we shouldn't just impose our ideology on others and insist on them complying in the way that we want them to. So may Allah grant us the ability to understand and grant us tolerance, forbearance, and grant us wisdom.